Last week we started our Christmas series, and it's about making space for Jesus for Christmas. You know, a lot of us are getting our Christmas stuff out, and we're putting stuff away, and we're shifting stuff. We have to rearrange our whole living room just to get a Christmas tree up, and so we have to make space for things, don't we? Last week we talked about that. We talked about Mark 1:1-4, where it says the beginning of the gospel about Jesus Christ, the Son of God. I love that, the beginning of the gospel. This is where it starts, right here. And it says it is written in Isaiah, and it's kind of neat that Mark goes clear back to the Old Testament, and he tells us what the prophet Isaiah told us was going to happen. It is written in Isaiah the prophet, I will send my messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way, a voice of one calling in the wilderness, in the desert, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him. And so John came baptizing in the desert region and preaching baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sin. John the Baptist, wow, went before Christ. What a job to assume that role, to assume that mantle of the prophet Isaiah, to say, okay, Jesus is coming, get ready. And you want to know something? That voice still calls us today. That voice is the Holy Spirit. And he prompts the hearts of people in the world. He prompts our hearts. And he says, get ready for it. We talked last week about that voice of one calling in the wilderness, about making space in your heart, because our hearts get full of stuff that shouldn't be there. Not always bad stuff, but sometimes just too much good stuff, or stuff that's, you know, good but not the best. And God says, I want you to make room. It's so easy to get lost in the desert of this world, in the wilderness of this world. You know, this last week, a couple of my friends and myself included, we got to experience finals week one more time. Yay. I was so happy when you came up. You were like so pumped because you got a great, great test score, you know. And the relief, you know, you can, okay, now I can make room for Christmas because finals is over. Or, oh, I can make room for Christmas, you know, because this or that. And sometimes it's like, oh my goodness, there's so many more things that Christmas brings. How am I going to make room for it? Well, we need to. We talked about the two things, you know, where it says, it says prepare. And that word, we talked about that word in the Hebrew, because this is a prophecy from the Old Testament. Prepare means to get fit, to buff up, to be the Arnold Schwarzenegger of Christmas. Can you imagine him in a Santa hat, you know? But anyway, we're supposed to get fit. We're supposed to be ready spiritually, mentally. We're supposed to be ready for that. And then the two exercises that we talked about in getting fit is repenting and forgiving. Repenting of past and forgiving and moving on. So this week, we're going to look at the second part of this by making straight paths for him. In Mark 2, verse 3, it's Mark 1, verse 2 and 3, it says this. It is written in Isaiah the prophet, I will send my messenger ahead of you who will prepare a way. He will give you a way to get fit, okay? He is a voice of one calling in the desert, which means he's one that calls into our everyday life. And this is what he's saying. Prepare, okay, the way of the Lord. And then it says, make straight paths for him. Make straight paths for him. I like the King James Version of this scripture much better because it's much more articulate. In the King James Version, it says, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Isn't that, I got that, if you want to put that up. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Now, there's a reason that this needs to be more articulate, because in the Hebrew, as you know, English is pretty easy to read. The Greek gets a little harder. The Hebrew gets a little harder. A little bit more articulate. A little bit more fuller as far as its understanding and meaning goes. So we're going to look at the Hebrew in this. First, let's see what that word straight means in the Hebrew, because this is coming right out of the Old Testament. And that word means to make right, okay, to make a pleasant, yeah, a prosperous, a direct, a healthy, pleasing way. Now, that's just a lot more than just straight, right? I mean, and the thing is, This word also uses, okay, that word prepare, fit. It's part of the root, it's a part of that. So we are to be fit, to be diligent, okay, in making a right, a pleasant, a prosperous, a direct, and a healthy, and a pleasing way. And God says, I don't want you just to walk a straight line. I don't want you just to get from point A to point B. I want that journey, okay, to be right. I don't want you to get lost, okay? I don't want you to veer. I don't want you to be, you know. There was a bumper sticker years ago, and it wasn't me. But this bumper sticker was all over the Midwest, and it was, has anyone seen Wrong Way Jim? How would you like to have the name Jim and that bumper sticker plastered on everything? It was about 16 years ago. Has anyone seen Wrong Way Jim? And it was a spoof about this guy that every time they went that snowmobiling up in the Bighorns, he got lost. They called him Wrong Way Jim. And it says, has anyone seen that? I don't want to be that here. I don't want to be Wrong Way Jim. He says, I want you to go the right way, okay? I want it to be pleasant. You know, how many of you have taken a walk, and let's just say you're walking through the desert of life and it's not very pleasant, but God says, I want your walk to be pleasant. I want your walk to be pleasant no matter where you're at. This week, I had a visit with a person, you know, a negative Nelly. Have you ever met a negative Nelly or a negative Ned? And you just want to spend time with them? Praise Jesus. Let's just go have dinner together because you're so much fun. Not, right? And I explained to this person that life is about attitude. If in airplanes, they have a gauge. It's called the attitude gauge. Honestly, it's the attitude. And it's about nose up, nose down, or nose level. And if your attitude is level, you're safe. If your attitude is up, nose up, hey, that's good. You can get a better vantage point. But if your attitude is nose down, you're going to crash and burn. And God says, I want your walk to be pleasant. So our pleasant walk is really about attitude. It's about knowing that we're walking with Jesus no matter what we're walking through. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil because you are with me. Man, that's a scripture. There are so many scriptures that we need to have just right there in our mind so that when something starts happening, it's like, okay, I'm walking through a valley that's not very pretty. It's a little shadowy here. But I got Jesus with me. He's with me. He's there. God says, I want it to be pleasant. I want it to be prosperous. And that doesn't mean you're going to get rich, but it means you're going to learn something. Life is about learning. And when you stop learning, you stop living. And when you stop living, you get a bad attitude, and you're not pleasant anymore. You see, it's all connected together. God says, not only that, but I want it to be right, I want it to be pleasant, I want it to be prosperous, but I want it to be direct. And not just direct from point A to point B, but He wants our lives to be directed by Him. You know, we're in the movie of life, and Jesus Christ is the director. And we better listen to Him because He knows how to make a good movie. Jesus has said, I want your life to be direct. I want it to be there and healthy. He says, I want you to be spiritually, mentally, physically. I want you to be healthy. I want you to do everything you can to be healthy, to keep your life healthy. And to keep our life healthy, we need to make way for Jesus. We're going to talk about that a little bit more here in a little bit. And He says, then I want your way to be a pleasing way. That's what it means to make a straight path in the desert, a pleasing way. When Isaiah the prophet, when he prophesied this, you have to realize that there was a lot of trade going on in the world at that time. There still is. But the trade in the world that time, they had to cross the deserts. Yeah, there's a lot of deserts in northern Africa, around Egypt, Arabia, okay? They had to try, and how did they cross those deserts? They crossed those deserts by knowing where the oases were. And so the routes went from oasis to oasis. It was a direct route from this oasis to that oasis, a direct route from there to there. So when the prophet said, I want you to make straight in the desert a highway for God, he was saying that if you stay on this path, you will get to that next oasis. You will be refreshed, and then you will stay on this path. So when he gave this prophecy, people in that culture knew what he was talking about. They knew that if you got off of that path, you were going to die within a couple of days. And they knew also that you would have to go on this path for a certain period of time, and then you would have to stop and rest so that you could make the next part of your journey. Do you know what a lot of us do? We just start going and we never stop to rest. And we wonder why we get tired and grumpy. We wonder why we lose focus. We wonder why we feel like we're out in the desert chewing on sand. And it's because we don't stay in that oasis long enough. And God has provided these oases. And when Isaiah was giving this prophecy, and he said, make straight in the desert a highway for our God, he knew and the people knew that that straight highway went from oasis to oasis, from oasis to oasis. And if you look at the ancient maps, okay, if they went like this, like this, like this, you can't go across the desert just straight. I mean, you can now. You put about 2 million gallons of gas in your car, and that highway goes right through there, and you hope you don't break down. But back then, okay, you had to water. You had to do that. It would take days to get through that. And God says, your journey, okay, you're making a straight path from this oasis to that oasis. And you know who the oasis is? Jesus. Jesus is that oasis. It says, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. And that word also, for our God, also means to our God. In the Hebrew, it's all inclusive. Make a highway for our God. Make a highway for you to our God. Make a highway for your approach to God. Make a highway so that God can be in your life. That's what it's saying. Make a straight path in the desert, a highway for God. You see, to have a successful journey, we have to take time. We have to make time. We have to make space to rest between desert stretches. We have to do that. And so this Christmas, I'm telling you, make some space for that. Make some space for some rest, okay? To make space for Jesus at Christmas this year, you know, just take some time. Just take some time. Years ago, I failed terribly in my quiet time with Christ because I'd kind of grown my quiet time to, 15, 20 minutes in the morning. And this book came out, Can You Not Tarry 1 Hour? And I loved the book and I hated the book. Because the challenge was, what kind of a Christian are you if you can't spend 1 hour every morning with Jesus? And it's based upon Matthew 26, where Jesus is on the sermon on, it's his last night on earth. He's in the garden, Gethsemane, and he goes up alone and he prays and he comes back and his disciples, what did they do? They fell asleep, because they've been working hard. They've been following God around. And so many times, aren't we the same way? We're working hard. We're following God around. We're so tired. We just need some sleep. And I remember reading this book and I'm like, okay, I'm going to do this. And I think I maybe lasted 2 weeks. And then I just felt like a total failure because I would sit down and I would start through my demarcations. There were 10 demarcations. And I would go here, here, here. I'd get to about 5. And it didn't matter whether it was in the morning or in the evening. And I would fall asleep. I think 5 was like meditate. And man, I was good at meditating. As long as meditating included snoring. I was really, really good at it, right? And I thought, oh man, I'm a total failure. And I had to back up a little bit. And fortunately, I had this amazing pastor. He was an older gentleman. He was kind of rough around the edges. And he called me up one day. He says, hey, you got a Saturday? Let's go pray. I said, okay. And he had a motor coach. And we'd load up in his motor coach. And we'd go find some really nice spot, park that thing, and, sit there and we'd start praying. And we were praying away, and it was about 11 o'clock. We'd had breakfast already. We'd had coffee. And we were sitting there and we're praying away and the sun starts coming in the window, And the next thing I know, I'm waking up and I'm looking at him and he's grinning at me. And I kind of drool down my face here a little bit, Because, when you fall asleep in the chair, I go, oh, man, I'm so sorry. He goes, you feel a little unspiritual, do you? And I'm like, yes. And he just starts laughing. He goes, Jim, crying out loud, you're tired. You probably needed some sleep. Maybe the best thing in the world. Take a day, pray, get a nap or two. And he goes, did you read that one book that, Can You Pray an Hour book? I go, yeah. Are you failing in it? I said, yeah. He said, how long were you going before that? I said, 15, 20 minutes. He said, were you staying awake? I said, yeah. Were you enjoying your time with Jesus? Yeah. He said, I go back to 15, 20 minutes. And then I thought, There's been times in my life where 5 minutes was pretty hard to get. I don't know how many of you use YouVersion. YouVersion, man, you get the app, you put it on your phone. You got anything there from 5 minutes to however much time you want to spend with God. Right now I've got three of those apps going. And, you know, I timed myself yesterday. I was doing all three of them, and it took me 20 minutes. And that was with, and if you do one, it's five. I encourage you to just make some time. Take 5 minutes. Use YouVersion. Get into and they have daily things that go 7 days. They go a year. They go, you know, they have Bible readings, everything. It's an amazing tool to make space for Jesus. And don't feel like a failure if it doesn't happen every day. Don't feel like a failure if you can't reach the can you not tarry for 1 hour? Because my pastor said, do you realize that those guys that had personal time with Jesus for 3 years, okay, and they felt like failures because they couldn't keep up with God in their prayers? He goes, got to think about things like this. I love that man. I just once in a while I call him just to get a perspective on reality. Jesus loves whatever time we give him. So I encourage you to make some space for him that way, okay? And then Isaiah 40, verse 3, it says, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. A highway. Look at that. So what is a highway? Well, in the Hebrew, a highway is a path or a thoroughfare. Well, duh. Well, there's more to it than that in the Hebrew, okay? Do you realize that the Hebrews had a definition for a turnpike before they were ever invented? Think about it. How many of you have ever been on the Pennsylvania Turnpike? Man, you should do that sometime. Okay, you pay your money. The roads are really great and maintained. And when you get off, you pay your money. And it's a thoroughfare. You're literally, it's safe. It's protected. It's well kept. It's easy to follow. Okay, the Pennsylvania Turnpike. It was to get people through that massive area of population. It works really great. I was really thinking like, oh, I don't want to spend the money. And a friend of mine said, spend the money. It's worth it. And this word highway means turnpike. What does that mean? It means a toll that has been paid. I love it. Make a highway for our God. Who made the highway? Jesus Christ paid the toll for our way. This was prophetically spoken, you know, way before Jesus was ever born. But he says there's going to come somebody before the Messiah, and he is going to make straight in the desert a toll that has been paid that's going to lead you to God. Whoa, are you getting goosebumps? Man, when I read this, I about freaked out. A turnpike. And then it gets better. Just when you think this word couldn't get any better, it is strongly implied that this highway is a gradual incline to a better perspective, a place where you can look out over the country. It's a highway that inclines us, not more than we can stand, and not an incline that wears us out, but a gradual incline to a higher place. And the Hebrews knew that this higher place meant a spiritual place where what? We spent time with God. That's why that word highway is in front of God. It is a toll that has been paid to get to a higher place so that you can spend time with God. A higher perspective. We were in Georgia years and years ago, and Georgia is a beautiful place, but it's highly claustrophobic for those of us that can see a long ways away. Georgia has got a lot of trees in it. And you're going down these highways, and it's trees, 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 trees. And about the third day, it was like I was itchy inside. I don't know. It was something. And I realized, I just got to get up on top of something and look around. I had never ever sensed a claustrophobic feeling before like that. And I said to our friends, I said, we're driving around. I said, is there any place in this state where you can get up on a hill and just look around? They said, oh, yeah, there's this little bluff over here. I said, could we do it? Sure, why? Well, I said, we have trees, but they're not like right here, you know? And I said, sure. And I got up there. Oh, I felt fine. That's what this highway is like. We start feeling all closed in, all claustrophobic in life, and God says, I want you to get on this highway so you can get up here and get a better perspective. You can spend some time with me. God promises that this straight path will bring us to a place of intimacy with Him. He promises that. He promises that. He promises that we will have a place where we can see more clearly. That's what that prophecy is talking about. It's talking about John the Baptist. Isaiah is saying, somebody's going to go before you and they're going to talk about and they're going to explain who Jesus is. Do you know who that somebody is now? That somebody is now the Holy Spirit in our life. He tells us as we're reading, he moves our minds, he does things, he arranges situations so that things happen, so that we look and we go, whoa, okay, I get it now. I can see this more clearly. You see, when we take time for God and do our part in making space for Him, we are given all the resources of heaven to stay on that path. A toll that has been paid. It is a safe place to travel. All those resources of heaven are in that highway for our God. That highway is for our God, but that highway is for our benefit. Everything that God has ever done and ever created was primarily for our benefit. Because God's God, and He doesn't really need us. Think about it. God was doing just fine for eons and eons and eons, and I don't know if He got bored or He just needed to challenge or His life was just, you know, too blah. He says, hey, I've got an idea. Let's spice things up. Let's create humans. And then let's put this into the equation. For God so loved the world that it wasn't enough just to give us all of creation, to give us all of the world, to give us everything that He could possibly think of beautiful. But God so loved the world that He gave also His only begotten Son, that whosoever shall believe in Him will not perish, but will have everlasting life. You see, God says, when you take time for me, when you make a space for me in your life, guess what? I'm going to give you some resources from heaven that are going to blow your mind. I'm going to give you a tollway to a greater vantage point so that you can spend time with me. It's kind of amazing because as David knew about this place, and Psalm 16 is one of Cindy and my favorite psalms. We have it memorized, but verse 11 is just amazing because verse 11 just caps off the end of Psalm 16. It says this, "You have made known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence and with eternal pleasures at your right hand." That's that highway to God, isn't it? David knew about it. David knew about this prophecy. David knew what was going to happen. David saw all of these things in his time and his prayer with God, and he says, "You have made known to me the path of life, and you will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand." So I encourage you, make space and make straight in the desert a highway for your God. Let's pray. Father, we thank You so much that You've done all of this. And Lord, I pray that You will help us to make space this Christmas. Make space, Lord, in our lives, in our hearts, in our homes, in our schedules. Make space for Jesus. Make space for that time with You. And Lord, I pray that as we do that, we will see these promises. We will see these incredible, incredible hidden treasures played out in our lives. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.